If I get off that road,
可是如果我偏离了这个道路，
if I stop walking by faith,
如果停止凭着信心向前走，
if I go back into my old way of life,
或者是我回到我过去的生活方式，
then the first thing I will lose is my assurance.
我第一个会失去的就是我的确信确据。
But the moment I get back on the way,
可是当我回到这个道路上的时候，
and walk in the Spirit,
继续在圣灵里面行，
I'm on my way to heaven.
我正通往天堂的道路。
Now that's my understanding of the New Testament.
这是我对新约的理解。
But there has come into being this unbiblical phrase, once saved, always saved.
所以 有这样的一个教导，就是一次得救永远得救，这个不合乎圣经的教导进到教会里。
Which is giving so many Christians a false security.
而这样的教法，这样的论述，给予很多的基督徒一个错误的安全感，
and even a spiritual and moral complacency，
甚至在让我们进入到一个属灵跟道德观的一个安逸。
If everybody who started on the way of salvation was still with us，
如果每一个开始这一个救赎道路的人仍然在这个道路上的话，
our churches couldn't hold them。
我们现在的教会没有办法容纳这些人啊。
But you and I, I'm quite sure, know people who once started and are not going on.
我们都一定有这样的认识，认识周围的人，他们曾经在这个道路上，却现在没有继续走在这个道路上的。
One man came to me.
有一位弟兄来找我。
Left his wife.
他离开他的妻子。
Living with another woman.
跟着别人，现在跟着别的女人住。
And he said to me, but.It's all right. Don't worry about me. I'm still saved.
他跟我说，你不用担心我，我已经得救了。
If God is really impartial,
如果神真的是不偏待人，是公义的，
What does God say to a man like that?
神会对这样的一个人怎么说呢？
He doesn't say you're all right.
他不会说你还好的。
He says get back to your wife.
他会说你回去跟你的妻子和好。
Put it right.
你要修正修复关系。
Go on in the wrong way and you risk losing your way back.
你继续走在错误的里面，你很有可能失去回到正确道路的力量。
Do you know there are 80 separate passages, 80 separate passages in the New Testament warning you not to lose your salvation?
你知道在新约里面有80处不同的经文提醒我们不要失去我们的救恩吗？
I've written a book called Once Saved, Always Saved? Question mark.
我写过一本书，一次得救，永远得救，一个很大的问号在后面。
And I go through the passages there.
我在那边一个一个的来谈这些经文。
Every writer in the New Testament has a warning.
每一个在新约里面的作者都有关于这方面的提醒。
And therefore this phrase, Once Saved, Always Saved,I just will never use it.
因此这样的话，一次得救，永远得救，是我永远不会用的话。
Not until I believe it's finally true for me.
直到我自己真实进到那个得救的里。
And then I will shout it from the rooftops.
然后我就会从屋顶上在那边呐喊说。
Let's take just three passages.
我们先从三个经文里面来看。
The one in Romans 11, which I mentioned last, night before last.
就是在前天晚上我所提到罗马书第十一章那边所说的。
Provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off.
只要你长久在他的恩赐里，不然你也要被砍下来。第二十二节。
What could be clearer?
这是非常清楚的，不是吗？
And there's a passage in 2 Peter.
有一段经文在彼得后书。
Which I'm going to read to you.
我要读给你们听。
Or you can turn it up and we'll read it together.
或者是可以一起翻开到彼得后书，我们可以一起来读。
As your practices in this church.
我们一起翻到我们的圣经，彼得后书第二章。
2 Peter chapter 2.
彼得后书第二章。
And we'll read from verse 20 to the end of the chapter.
我们从第二十节读到最后结束。
You just start reading.
我们一起来读，请。倘若他们因认识主救主耶稣基督，得以脱离世上的污秽，后来又在其中被缠住制服， 他们末后的景况就比先前更不好了。他们晓得义路，竟背弃了不传给他们的圣命，倒不如不晓得为妙。俗话说的真不错，狗所吐的他转过来又吃了，猪洗净了又回到泥里去滚，这话在他们身上正合适。
Could anything be clearer than that?
这个讲的不是非常的清楚吗？
This is someone who has already escaped the corruption of the world.
这是他已经远离世界的污秽。
By knowing our Savior,
因为认识我们的救主耶稣基督，
and then goes back to their old way of life.
可是后来又回去到他过去的道路。
They are worse off than if they had never known.
他们末后的情况比先前更不好了。
Well, if they're still saved, how can they be worse off?
如果他们仍然得救，怎么会比先前更不好呢？
If they're still going to heaven, how could they be worse off?
如果他们还会再上天堂的话，他们怎么会比先前更不好呢？
They can only be worse off if judgment is more severe.
他们会比先前更不好，因为在他们身上的审判是更严厉的。
And the final one.
最后一处经文。
We'll turn to Revelation.
我们翻到启示录。
Chapter 3.
启示录第三章。
And verse 5.
启示录第三章第五节。
Let's just read that.
我们一起来读，请。凡得胜的必这样穿白衣，我也必不从生命册上涂抹他的名，且要在我父面前和我父众使者面前认他的名。
The book of life is mentioned 4 times in the Bible.
在圣经里面有4次提到生命册。
And in 3 of them, it's talking aboutHaving your name rubbed out of the book.
有3次是讲到让你的名字从生命册上涂抹掉。
That is the most serious thing that can happen to a Christian.
这是一个对于一个基督徒来说可能发生最严厉、最严酷的一个事情。
To find that when the book of life is opened,
就发现当生命册打开的时候，
their name has been erased from it.
他们的名字已经在上面被涂抹掉了。
So whose name is erased?
是谁的名字被涂抹掉呢？
Well, the answer of that verse is he who didn't overcome.
而那个答案就是凡没有得胜的。
And overcoming is a favorite word in the last book in the Bible.
在启示录里面，这个得胜的用词是常常提到的。
And it means to overcome 2 things.
讲到得胜是讲的这个得胜是讲两方面。
Persecution from outside.
讲到的是从外面来的逼迫
and temptation from inside.
然后还有里面内心的诱惑。
Now turn to Revelation 21.
我们再翻到启示录21章
and verse 7.
启示录21章第七节。
We've had a description of the holy city, the New Jerusalem.Coming down out of heaven.
这边有描述新的城市，新的耶路撒冷从天临到地上。
How God comes down to earth and lives with people.
神怎么样来到地上与他的百姓同住。
How he will wipe away every tear from their eye.
神要擦去他们一切的眼泪。
That there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain.
不再有死亡，不再有悲哀、哭号、疼痛。
It's a wonderful picture of the future.
对于将来这是非常美的一幅图画。
The final future.
是最终的这个将来。
After the millennium on earth.
在千禧年完之后的将来。
A new heaven and a new earth.
一个新天新地的来到。
A new earth so wonderful that God decides to come and live in it.
一个那个新地美好到一个地步，神自己来到地上居住在这个地方。
And we won't pray to our Father in heaven anymore.
我们就不再会祷告我们在天上的父。
We'll say, Our Father who art on earth with us.
我们会祷告我们在地上与我们同住的父。
Now who's going to get all this?
那谁会得着这一切呢？
Believers?
基督徒吗？
Read verse 7.
我们来读第七节，我们一起来读，请。得胜的必承受这些为业，我要做他的神，他要做我的儿子，唯有胆怯的、不信的、可憎的、杀人的、淫乱的、行邪术的、拜偶像的和 和一切说谎的，他们的份就在烧着火的火湖里，这是第二次的死。
Is all that verse 7?
Yeah.
My, your language is longer than mine.
哇，你们中文比我的英文长很多。
Well, then read right on verse 8.
Oh, we don't. Oh, we read verse 8, sorry. We just read.
Oh, you did read verse 8. Yeah. I thought it was a long time. So now you know.
所以你知道了。
The book of Revelation is written to believers.
启示录是对基督徒所写的。
The overcomers will get all this.
得胜的可以承受这一切为业。
But those who stop believing.
但是那些停止相信的。
Those who are cowards.
那些胆怯的。
Those who've gone back to an old way of life.
那些回到过去的生活的。
Remember, all this is.Addressed to Christians.
你要知道，这封信是对基督徒所写的。
And the end of verse 8.
第八节的最后面说。
Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur.
他们的份就在烧着硫磺的火湖里。
Been lovely to be with you this week.
这个礼拜能够跟你们在一起，真的是非常的美好。
You've been amazingly patient. All the words I've poured out.
你们非常的有耐心，听我所讲的每一句话。
But my prayer is that not one of you who has heard me talk this week.
但是我的祷告是，我们当中所有听见我今天教这个礼拜教导的人
，will find your name has been rubbed out of the book of life.
不会找到有一天，不会发现有一天你的名字在生命册上被涂抹掉。
And that we'll all be there together.
我们都会与主一同在新天新地里。
In the Lord.
在主里面。
And he will be our God.
他要做我们的神。
And we shall be his people.
我们要成为他的百姓。
Forever and ever.
到永永远远。
Ever and ever.
到永永远远。
Ever and ever.
到永永远远。
Amen.
Amen.
Being a Christian is not enough. Being ready for the Master's return is what we need. How many of you are going to read it and that we'll all be there together?
我们都会与主一同在新天新地里面。
Ever and ever.
到永永远远。
Amen. Plato is dead.
柏拉多已经死了。
Socrates is dead.
那个希腊哲学的 Socrates 也死了。
Aristotle is dead.
亚里士多德也死了。
Napoleon is dead.
拿破仑也死了。
Joseph Stalin is dead.
斯大林也死了。
曹植东 is dead.
毛泽东也死了。
毛泽东 I knew I'd got it wrong.Muhammad is dead.
穆罕默德也死了。
The Buddha is dead.
佛祖也死了。
Confucius is dead.
孔子也死了。
But Jesus is alive.
但是耶稣仍然活着。
And that's only one of the things that makes our Lord Jesus Christ unique.
就是其中之一使我们的主耶稣基督是独特的。
And the word unique means he's the only one of his kind.
独特的意思就是他是唯一的。
There is no one else like him.
没有任何人像他一样。
And it is vital in these days that Christians know how unique their Savior and Lord is.
特别在这个时代，基督徒更需要知道我们的救主主耶稣基督有多么的独特。
There are many religions. Many religions around us.
在我们周围有许多的宗教。
Many other gods being worshipped.
有许多的他们在敬拜的神明。
But Jesus is radically different from all the others.
但是耶稣与所有其他的所敬拜、所崇拜的这些神明是完全截然不一样的。
He is absolutely unique.
他是全然的独特。
We have four gospels in our Bibles.
在我们的福音，在我们圣经里面有四卷的福音书。
And that is the main source of information about him.
那所有关于耶稣，大部分关于耶稣的资料是来自于这四卷福音书。
But it's not the only source.
但这不只是唯一的资料来源。
Facts about Jesus can be found outside the Bible.
其他关于耶稣的资料可以在圣经之外我们可以取得。
But it's primarily from the Bible that we get our knowledge.
大致上我们的知识都是从圣经里面而来的。
They are the only detailed records of his life.
而在圣经里面，福音书里面是唯一详细的描述他的生活的。
And the extraordinary thing is this.
那最令人讶异的是什么呢？
He is surely the most famous person who ever lived on earth.
他绝对是活在世上的人类来说最出名、最有名的。
But we actually know very little.
可是我们却对他的了解却是最少的。
There are huge gaps in the record.
在所记载的东西是那个篇幅是少很多的。
From his birth to 13,
从他出生到他十三岁。
And from there to 30,
从十三岁到三十岁。
We really have no knowledge.
其实我们对他的那个时段的认知是非常少的。
And he was dead 3 years later.
而三年之后，三十岁的时候他就死去了。
So I want to speak tonight about what makes him different from all the other religious leaders.
今天晚上我要来分享为什么耶稣跟其他宗教的领袖比较起来是独特的。
And I start with his birth.
我要从他的出生开始来谈。
It's a good place to start.
这是一个非常好开始的地方。
And his birth was unique.
他的出生是非常独特的。
He's the only person born in this way.
他是唯一的出生是这样一个方式的。
Actually, the miracle happened 9 months earlier.
坦白说，他的出生那个神迹是在九个月之前就发生的。
His birth was quite normal.
他的出生其实是还算正常。
Some hours of pain for Mary.
对玛利亚来说，那个产痛几个小时。
And then her boy is born.
然后他的儿子就生出来了。
The only different thing about his actual birth,
他的出生唯一不同的地方是
was that Mary's hymen was pierced by a man from the inside.
而是我们知道那个玛利亚，她的处女膜，那个破掉是在于里面，在她里面有人弄破的。
But it was his conception that was unique.
但是是他的那个受造，是他的那个受孕是特独特的。
Now I was talking to a professor of gynecology.
有一次呢，我跟一位妇科的一个教授在那边谈。
In an English university.
在一个英国的大学的一个妇科的教授。
And he said to me.
然后他对我说。
There have possibly been other virgin births.
他说其实也有可能有其他的童女。感孕的例子
I didn't know that.
我说我不知道有这样的事
But apparently a female egg can begin to divide by itself.
他说其实那个妇女的那个卵子她自己也会自己分裂
Without being fertilized.
她没有受孕就可以分裂
It can happen in the plant world.
还可以发生在植物界里
In the animal world.
在动物界里
And some believe it has happened in the human world.
有些人相信发生在人类中间。
And there have been perhaps 6 claims.
可能有六个，他们说曾经有六个这样的例子。
By women to have produced a baby without ever having had intercourse with a man.
就是有他们这些女子宣称他们有拥有了孩子，可是却没有跟任何的男人发生过关系。
And this professor told me.That they are inclined to believe those claims.
然后这个教授就告诉我说，他们其实是对这些人的宣称，他们是相信的。
For one reason.
为了一个原因，他们相信。
In every case, it produced a girl.
因为他们每一次这样的一个受孕过程所生产出来的都是女孩。
A virgin cannot produce a boy.
一个童女受孕是绝对不可能生出儿子的。
Every egg in a woman's body is female.
因为在每一个女孩子里面，身体里面那个卵所生出来的一定是女子。
It takes the male sperm to change its sex.
需要从 男性的精子才能够改变那个性别。
But Mary produced a boy.
但是玛利亚却生出一个儿子出来。
That's unique.
这是非常独特的。
Nobody's ever done that.
从来没有这样的事情发生过。
And we know that now that what happened inside Mary's womb.
我们知道在玛利亚的腹中，在她的腹中子宫里面发生什么样的事。
It's obvious that God produced, created a male sperm.
我们知道是神创造了那个男子的精子。
That fertilized one of Eve's eggs.
然后使那个他的卵子受孕。
So it was an act of creation.
而这是神亲自的一个创造。
And that must be God.
这一定是神。
Because only God can make something out of nothing.
因为只有神可以使那无变为有。
He did that with the whole universe.
我们的全世界全宇宙都是这样创造出来的。
And the Almighty Creator did that in Mary's womb.
而全能的创造者在玛利亚的腹中做了行了这样的事。
Now the amazing thing is that Muslims accept that Jesus was born from a virgin.
那更令人讶异的就是，你知道回教徒他们也相信耶稣是童女受孕生出来的。
But they don't accept the much more amazing fact about his birth.
但是对于耶稣 其他出生的过程他们不接受。
There's something even more wonderful than being born of a virgin.
有一个比童女受孕出生是更美妙的。
Jesus was the only human being who ever chose to be born.
耶稣是唯一一个人类选择生出来的。
I didn't choose to be born.
我没有选择被生出来。
You didn't choose to be born.
你也没有选择被生出来。
I didn't choose my parents.
我没有选择我父母亲。
You didn't.
你也没有选择你的
父母亲。But he did.
但是他却有。
And when you consider that he could have chosen anybody for his parents.
你想象如果他可以选择任何人做他的父母。
He could have been born in the richest palace in the world.
他可以生出来是在全世界最富有的那个皇宫里。
But he chose to be born in an ordinary working home.
可是他却选择生出来在一个一般平凡这些他们上班人的家庭里面。
What a choice!
他何等的选择啊！
If you could be choose to be born.Would you have chosen that?
如果你自己可以拣选你要出生的家庭，你会做这样的选择吗？
I doubt it.
我怀疑。
But he did.
但是他却做这样的选择。
So from the very beginning of his existence on earth, Jesus was absolutely unique.
从他的出生的那一刻，他就是这样的独特。
Nobody else chose to come here.
没有任何的人选择生出来来到这世界。
And in later life, he never said, I was born for this.
然后在之后，耶稣说，我是为这个而活。
He said, I came for this.
他没有说我是为这个而出生，他是说我是为这个而来的。
Even told us where he came from.
他甚至告诉我们他是从哪里来的。
I came from heaven, he said.
他说我是从天来的。
No man has been up into heaven.
他说没有任何的人去过天上。
But the Son of Man came down from heaven.
但是人子却从天来到地上。
And then he added a most unusual thing. He said, and he is still in heaven.
然后他却讲了一句非常令人讶异的话。他说人子仍然在天上。
Because he brought heaven with him.
因为他把天带到人间。
He was still with his father when he came down here.
当他来到了地上的时候，他仍然与他的父同在。
And that's just his birth.
我们才讲到他的出生而已。
For the next 12 years, we know nothing.
在接下来的十二年，我们知道的资料非常的有限。
And then the curtain lifts, and we have a glimpse of a boy.
然后呢，我们看见那个幔子就稍微挪开，我们稍微看到一个孩童的耶稣。
A Jewish boy of 12.
一个十二岁孩童的耶稣。
And that's when a Jewish boy becomes a man.
就是当十二岁的时候，一个犹太的男孩成为一个男人。
I wish we all had such a ceremony.
我真的希望我们每一个人，每一个种族都有这样的一个庆祝进到成人礼的一个仪式。
Some men remain boys for the rest of their lives.
有些的男人一生只是做男孩而已。
And the only difference is the price of their toys.
那唯一差别就是他们的玩具越玩越昂贵。
But the Jews recognize when a boy becomes a man.
但是犹太人他们会有这样的一个仪式来承认当一个男孩进入到一个男人。
They call the ceremony the bar mitzvah.
他们称这个仪式叫做 bar mitzvah, 一个成
人礼。The boy goes to the synagogue.
然后这男孩呢会去到会堂。
And he reads aloud from the law of Moses.
他会从摩西的律法会大声的宣扬出来。
Up till then, his parents were responsible for his behavior.
在这个之前呢，他的父母亲要为他所做的行为负责任。
Now he is responsible.
而现在呢，他要为自己负责任。
He's a man.
他现在是个男人了。
And at that point, he would put his toys away.
而那个时候，他会把他的玩具摆在一边。
Put away childish things.
把那些幼稚的东西放下。
And join his father in his trade or business.
他会跟他的父亲进到他父亲的工作的里面，他的就跟他一起工作。
As a partner.
成为他父亲的一个伙伴。
And this happened to Jesus.
而这样的事情也发生在耶稣的身上。
They didn't take him to the local synagogue, but to the temple.
他们并没有带耶稣去到当地的会堂，他们却带耶稣上到耶路撒冷的圣殿里。
Which meant a long journey.
意思是说，他们这个旅程是一个很长的一个旅程。
And they went on their two feet.
而他们是用双脚行走去的。
Let me explain how they traveled.
让我跟你解释一下，那个时代他们是怎么样。
The women and children would set off first.
他们是怎么样去旅行的呢？就是妇人跟孩子会先出发。
They traveled more slowly.
因为他们走得比较慢。
And when they had walked about 15 miles,
当他们走了差不多50英里的时候呢
？They put up their tents.
他们会在那边搭他们的帐篷。
Lit fires.
然后把火烧起来。
And cooked an evening meal.
然后晚上的时候在那边煮饭。
By the time the meal was cooked, the men would arrive.
当他们晚餐煮好的时候呢，那些男士们就抵达了。
Now I think that's a very good arrangement.
我觉得这样的一个安排还不错。
And this way they traveled 15 miles each day.
所以他们每一天走50英里的路程。
So they got to Jerusalem.
所以他们上到耶路撒冷。
Jesus had his bar mitzvah in the temple.
耶稣有他在圣殿里面有他的成人礼。
And then they left to go back to Nazareth.
后来他们就离开圣殿，回到拿撒勒。
Mary reached the first camp, 15 miles away.
玛利亚走了50英里，走到第一个他们搭帐篷的地方。
Got the evening meal ready.
然后晚餐也预备好了。
And Joseph arrived.
然后约瑟也抵达了。
And they looked at each other.
他们就彼此对看。
Where's Jesus?
耶稣去哪里了？
And Mary said, "But Joseph, he's now a man. He'd walk with you now."
可是他现在是个那样。玛利亚就对耶稣说，他现在是一个男，他现在是成人了，他应该是跟你们男士一起走的。
Joseph said, "He's not my boy."
然后耶稣说，他不是我的男孩啊。
I thought he'd walk with you.
我以为他是跟你一起。
That's how they lost their son.
这是为什么他们找不到他们的儿子。
And you can see how it happened.
你可以知道是这样的一个因素所发生的。
So they went back to Jerusalem.
后来他们就回到耶路撒冷。
Looked everywhere for him.
去各个地方去找耶稣。
And found him in the temple.
他们在圣殿里面找到耶稣。
Discussing theology with the priests.
耶稣在那边跟这些祭司们在谈论神学。
And Mary, very typically as a mother.
那玛利亚就是一个我们一般的母亲。
Said, "Where have you been?"
说你去了哪里呀
？Your father and I have been looking everywhere for you.
他说我跟你爸爸不断的在找你啊。
He said, "But didn't you realize?"
他说你不知道吗
？I'm now a man.
我现在是个男人了。
I've joined my father's business.
我已经加入在我父亲的事业里了。
You should have looked in the temple first.
你应该先来圣殿里面找我的啊。
Because that's where my father's business is done.
因为我的父亲的事业是在圣殿里啊。
And this tells you something very important.
这个告诉我们一个非常重要的事。
Jesus had never been told who his father was.
耶稣没有人告诉耶稣他的父亲是谁。
They'd allowed him to think that Joseph was.
他们允许他认为约瑟是他的父亲。
It says Mary kept all the details of his birth in her heart.
经上告诉我们说，玛利亚把所有他出生的这些细节放在他的心里面。
She never talked about the angel.
她从来没有跟他讲过关于天使。
Or the Holy Spirit who impregnated her.
或者是圣灵使他感孕。
And here's Jesus saying, "I've joined my Father now."
可是这边耶稣却说，我已经加入在我父亲的事业里了。
They must both have been shocked.
他们一定非常的讶异。
He knew.
他知道哎。
That his Father was God.
他知道他的父亲是神。
And then the curtain drops again.
然后后来呢，这个幔子又放下了。
It says he went back to Nazareth.
经常告诉我们说，他跟他们回到拿撒勒
，and submitted to Joseph and Mary，
然后降服于玛利亚跟约瑟
，and grew in favor with God and man，
然后在并神和人喜爱他的心都一起增长。
For the next 18 years, we don't know what happened。
接下来的十八年，我们不知道发生任何的事。
We think that Joseph must have died。
我们觉得约瑟在那个阶段应该已经死去了。
And that Jesus took over the carpenter's business.
而耶稣已经继承了他这个家业，就是这个事业。
And was the family breadwinner.
然后就是基本上这个家庭里面主要供应家庭
经济的人。But we do know that at the age of 30 he burst onto the public stage.
但是我们也知道，在三十岁的时候，他开始了他的公开的服事。
Now listen to this.
大家要注意听哦。
He was 18 years a woodworker.
他有十八年的时间是我们所谓的木匠。
And 3 years a wonder worker.
然后呢，三年的时间是行神迹的。
18 to 3.
十八年跟三年。
In my simple mind is 6 to 1.
跟以我的想，我很简单的，这个比例是六比一啊。
Would you agree?
是不是这样子？
And then he said, "My father works until now, and now I work."
他说我的父亲工作到如今，而现在是我工作的时候。
So his father must have worked 6 to 1.
所以他的父亲的工作的比例也是六跟一。
What does that remind you of?
这会让你想到什么呢？
Go and read Genesis 1 again.
再一次回去读创世纪第一章。
It's amazing. What a story.
非常奇妙。
But now he burst onto the public stage.
现在他来到公开的舞台。
And for the next 3 years, we know a whole lot about his life.
接下来的三年，很多关于他生活的细节我们都有。
And it is extraordinary.
是非常独特奇妙的。
In 3 ways.
这个独特奇妙呢，是三方面。
What he did.
他做了什么。
What he was.
他是什么样的人
？And what he said.
然后他说了什么话
？And for one of those 3 things, he was murdered.
为了这三个其中之一，他后来被杀害。
In fact, the astonishing thing is there were 5 attempts on his life.
其实坦白说，他们尝试要谋杀耶稣，总共有5次。
And 4 of them he escaped from.
4次他都成功的逃离。
His own people in his own village tried to throw him off a cliff.
他自己家乡的百姓尝试要把他从那个悬崖上面推下去。
After preaching 1 sermon.
他只讲了一篇道。
I've never had quite that reaction.
我从来没有看过会众对我的讲道有这样的一个反应过。
But I have had some people who didn't like my preaching.
但是有一些人是不喜欢我的讲道，我有这样的经历。
But after preaching 1 sermon in the synagogue in the village,They tried to throw him over the cliff.
但是在会堂里面讲了一篇道之后呢，他们尝试要把他从悬崖里面推下去。
Others tried to stone him.
有些人尝试要丢石头丢他。
And each time he escaped.
而每一次他都逃离了。
Until the 5th time.
直到第五次。
And then he said, "Now is the time for me to die."
他说现在是我离世的日子到了。
At 33 years of age.
在33岁的时候。
The whole story is so extraordinary.
这整个故事是太独特了。
Let's look at those 3 aspects of his life.
我们特别来看这三方面。
First, the things he did.
我们首先来看他所行的事。
Now, for the first 30 years of his life, he didn't do anything unusual.
在他30岁之前，他没有做任何非常奇妙的事。
There are some legends about his childhood in other gospels.
当然在其他的福音书里面，他们有些的这样的传闻关于他的成长背景。
Which never got into our Bible.
而在那些其他的福音书不是在我们的圣经里面的。
Thank God they didn't.
感谢神，那些福音书没有在我们的圣经。
But there is now an unhealthy interest in those gospels that didn't get into our Bible.
可是我们看见现在有很多不健康的，对这些不好的一些的，对这些没有在圣经里面的福音书有开始有兴趣。
And they're full of extraordinary untrue stories.
在那些福音书里面，其实里面充满了很多是伪造的、不正确的故事。
One of them is that as a little baby, he discussed theology with his mother.
有一个，其中一个故事讲到的是，当他还是一个婴孩的时候，他跟他的母亲在那边谈论神学。
As soon as he was born.
当他一出生的时候就开始谈论神学。
Can you imagine it?
你可以想象这样的事发生吗？
And that found its way into the Quran.
而那个故事后来就进是可兰经，就引用那个故事在可兰经里面。
And Muslims believe it.
而回教徒他们相信这样的事。
There's another gospel that says when he was a small boy, somebody pushed him and he fell over into the mud.
然后有另外一个福音书里面讲了一个故事，当他还年幼的时候呢，他有一个人曾经推他，然后他就跌倒在泥巴里。
And Jesus cursed the boy with leprosy.
然后耶稣呢就咒诅那个推他的男孩子说你要得麻风病。
Another says that he made birds out of clay.
然后另外一个故事讲到说他用泥土然后把一个
blessed them and they flew away.
然后把一个鸟造出来，然后祝福那个鸟就突然飞起来了。
And all these are untrue legends.
所有这些的故事都不是
真的。And they're not in your Bible.
而且他们都没有在我们的圣经里面。
Because the fact is that until he was 30, Jesus couldn't do anything extraordinary.
因为事实是什么？直到他三十岁，在他三十岁之前，耶稣没有办法行任何这些的异能。
Because it wasn't until he was 30 that the Holy Spirit of God came on him.
因为是在他三十岁的时候，圣灵才降在他身上的。
And then he could do miracles.
而那个时候他可以行神迹。
And he said, "That's how I do them."
他说：“这就是我行神迹的方的原因。
If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God,
他说我用神的灵赶鬼。
Then the kingdom has come to you.
神的国就在我们中间。
So Jesus attributed his miracles to the Holy Spirit.
所以耶稣告诉我们，他能够行异能、行神迹的原因是因为圣灵。
He was 30 before he was baptized.
在三十岁的时候，接下来后来他就被施浸。”
And before the Holy Spirit came on him.
然后在受洗完之后呢，圣灵降临在他身上。
And then he began a totally different life.
然后他就开始一个完全不一样的生活。
And he did many miracles.
他行了许多的神迹奇事。
We haven't just got the Bible's word for this, we've got secular historians' record.
不只是圣经记载他的神迹奇事，甚至当时的历史学家也记载了很多耶稣所行的神迹。
That he went about performing miracles.
他在各个地方行神迹。
We can divide them into two groups.
这些的神迹呢，我们可以把它分类成两大类。
The miracles he did with people.
一个是对人的神迹。
And the miracles he did with nature.
另外一个是为对大自然所行的神迹。
He did extraordinary things with people.
他在人身上行了许多伟大的神迹。
Caused blind people to see.
让瞎眼的可以得以看见。
Deaf people to hear.
耳聋的可以听见。
Dumb people to speak.
不能够说话的哑巴可以说话。
Dead people to come back to life.
甚至叫死人可以从死里复活。
Usually within hours of their death.
通常是在他们刚死了之后，叫他们从死里复活。
But、on one occasion, 4 days later, when the body was stinking.
但是有一个例子是已经死了四天之后，当那个他的尸体已经腐臭了。
Now some of those miracles have been matched by others.
那有一些这样的一个神迹，其实别人也做过。
Jesus himself acknowledged that other Jews could cast out demons.
耶稣也承认其他的犹太有一些犹太人也可以赶鬼
or heal the sick,
或者是医治病人
but nobody else raised the dead after 4 days.
但是从来没有人可以叫一个死去四天的人从死里复活
That's unique.
这是独特的。
But when we turn to his miracles of nature,
但是当我们谈到他对大自然的神迹的时候，
there are things that only God who created nature could have done.
他所行的那只有创造宇宙万物的神可以行的神迹。
To change water into wine,
可以把水变为酒。
And make it the best wine at the wedding.
然后让那个酒是最好最棒的酒。
And to make many huge jars full.
然后让那个几缸的这么多的酒。
That's the miracle of a creator.
这是创造主的神迹啊。
To take two little fish and a few little rolls of bread.
让两个 五饼二鱼。
And break them up.
然后当它剥开了之后。
And keep breaking them up.
一直播，一直播，一直播。
And feeding 5,000.
然后喂饱了五千人。
I think that's one of the funniest miracles in the Bible.
我觉得是在圣经里面记载的最好笑的一个神迹。
Why do I find it funny?
为什么我觉得是最有趣的呢？
My naughty sense of humor.
这是我调皮性的幽默感。
Jesus said to his disciples.
耶稣对他的门徒说。
They're hungry.
他们肚子饿了。
They haven't eaten all day.
他们整天都没有食物吃。
Give them some food.
给他们一些食物吧。
And they said, you couldn't buy enough food to feed this crowd.
他们的回答是，你买不了那么多的食物可以来喂饱这么多人啊。
He said, give them some food.
他说就给他们点食物吧。
And they saw a poor little boy with his picnic lunch.
他们就看到一个小男孩带着他的午餐。
Just about to eat it.
那个小男孩正准备要吃。
And the poor little boy loses his picnic lunch.
然后那小男孩的他的午餐的餐盒就被人家抢走了。
That's really quite funny, but it's not the funny bit.
这个我觉得还蛮好笑的。
After everybody's had enough,
而当每一个人吃完之后呢？
Jesus said, "Gather up the fragments that remain."
也是说把剩余的都收集起来。
And they gathered up 12 baskets full.
他们收完之后有十二篮的。
What are the disciples doing with 12 empty baskets?
那之前那个十二个空篮子，那个门徒在做什么？
They've been hiding in the bushes and eating their own food.
他们其实自己带自己的食物，自己在吃啊。
And sharing it with nobody.
他们都不跟别人分享。
And that's why they had 12 empty baskets.
这是为什么他们吃完之后有十二个空篮子可以来带这些东西。
So it's a very funny incident.
所以这是一个非常有趣的故事。
But it's an amazing thing to have done.
但是行这样的神迹是非常奇妙的。
Only a creator could do that.
只有创造主才可以行这样的神迹。
Raising Lazarus from the dead was the greatest act.
那我们知道。
On a person.
叫拉撒路从死里复活是在人身上可以行最大的神迹。
What about cursing a fig tree?
可是咒诅一个无花果树呢？
Jesus was hungry.
耶稣肚子饿了。
He came to a fig tree expecting some fruit.
他来到一个无花果树前，期待上面会有果子。
And there was none.
可是上面却没有任何的果子。
So he cursed the tree.
然后就咒诅这个无花果树。
And the next morning they said, "That tree you cursed, it's dead."
然后第二天他们走过的时候看见说，耶稣你所咒的那个树现在是死的。
No leaves on it.
没有任何的叶子在上面。
Only someone who created that tree could do that.
只有那个创造这棵树的主可以做这样的事。
And what about stilling the storm?
那讲到平静风和浪呢？
I've been caught on the little sea of Galilee in a boat, a fishing boat, in a storm, and I know what it's like.
我有这样的经历，就是在加利利海、加利利湖上面坐在一个小渔船里面经历风浪。
It happens in the middle of the afternoon.
就是在下午的傍晚的时候发生的。
When the sun has warmed the sea.
当那个太阳之前的阳光光照在，让那个湖水越来越热，越来越热。
It's really a large lake.
那真的是一个很大的一个湖。
Surrounded by hills.
那周围有很多的山丘。
And when the hot air from the water rises.
当那个水蒸气从那个湖水上面开始浮上来的时候
It pulls cold air down.
它会吸引那些比较冷的气流下来
Between all the mountains.
是来自于这些山丘的这个气流下来
And the wind comes from every direction.
然后那个风就从各个方向吹上来
All the different winds meet in the middle and cause a terrific storm.
然后所有的风聚集在这个湖中间引起
It's quite dangerous. In fact, now they don't let you go on Galilee in a boat in the middle of the afternoon.
甚至现在在傍晚的时候，他们不会让人坐船在湖中。
And of course, a boat with a sail is stuck in the middle.
那你要想象，那个就是有帆船的那个船就在中间卡住了。
You just can't move in any direction.
你任何的方向都没有办法走。
And this happened with Jesus and his disciples in the afternoon.
在傍晚的时候，耶稣跟他的门徒也经历同样的风
暴。And the disciples thought they were going to drown.
那门徒们认为他们已经快要被淹死了。
And they woke Jesus up.
他们把耶稣叫醒。
He's having a little nap in the front of the boat.
而耶稣在风浪中，在船。
Don't you care? We're going to die.
在那边睡着，然后他们对他说：“你不在乎我们要死了吗？”
And Jesus simply stood up.
耶稣就站起来。
But he didn't say, "Peace be still."
他没有说住了吧，静了吧。
He said, "Get muzzled."
啊，他说你住嘴。
It's a word you use for a little puppy dog that's jumping up.
就是那种你知道小狗在那边叫叫叫，你会叫它闭嘴。
And Jesus was virtually saying, "Stop jumping up at my disciples."
然后他其实对风浪所说的那个他是住了吧静了吧其实是对狗斥责狗所用的话
As if the winds were a pet dog
好像是那一个风浪好像是他的那个宠一个
宠物狗 And immediately there was calm
然后立刻风浪就止住了
He could just tell the weather what to do
他可以告诉这个整个的天气
And now those disciples were not scared of the wind
而现在门徒们不害怕这些风浪
They were scared of Jesus
他们比较害怕耶稣
They said, what kind of a man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?
他说这耶稣是一个什么样的人啊连风浪都听从他
The more you look at the miracles of Jesus, the more you begin to ask questions like that.
当你更多来看耶稣的神迹的时候，你就会越多的来问这样的问题。
And the disciples were already asking questions.
门徒们已经在问这些的问题。
For 2.5 years, he kept them up in the north.
两年半的时间，他们是停留在以色列的。
Around Galilee.
就在加利利湖附近。
Without once telling them who he was.
而没有告诉他们的门徒们耶稣是谁。
He was waiting for one of them.To discover.
他在等候他的门徒们中间的一位来发现他是谁。
And Peter did.
彼得后来发现。
Up in the north.
在北方。
And he asked the disciples, "Who do people think I am?"
他就问门徒们说，人们说我是谁。
Well, they said, "Many believe you're a reincarnation."
那他说很多人认为你是那个谁的再生。
Of one of the great prophets of the Old Testament.
就是旧约里面先知的再生。
And then he said, "But who do you think I am?"
他就问门徒说，那你们认为我是谁呢？
Peter,
彼得
came out with it.
讲对了。
You're the Christ.
你是基督。
The Son of the Living God.
永生神的儿子。
And Jesus said, "Now we can leave the north."
也就是说，现在我们可以离开地方。
We can go straight to Jerusalem.
我们可以去到耶路撒冷。
And I can die.
然后我可以在那里死。
And dear old Peter, I love him because every time he opened his mouth, he put his foot in it.
那我真的彼得啊，真的我很喜欢彼得，因为他每一次开口的时候，就好像把自己的脚放在嘴巴里面一样。
And he said, "You'll do no such thing."
他说哦，不可以，绝对不可以这样子去。
I'm not going to let you do that.
我不会让你死的。
And Jesus called Peter Satan.
然后后来耶稣称彼得撒旦。
Get behind my back, Satan.
退到我后面去，撒旦。
I'm not listening.
我不会听你所说的话。
Shock for Peter.
对彼得来讲非常的震撼。
But Jesus had spent 2.5 years letting them see what he did.
然后因为耶稣花了两年半的时间让他的门徒们看他
所行的事。Because he wanted them to know the truth.
因为他要他们知道真理
Not because he told them,
不是因为他告诉他们
but because his father revealed it to them.
而是因着他的父向他们启示
And that's what he said to Peter.
这是他对彼得所说的
You didn't come to this conclusion by yourself.
这个结论不是你自己所发现的
my father helped you to realize the truth.
是我的父帮助你明白真理
Well, that's his miracle.
这是他的神迹
Did you know that Muhammad never did a miracle?
你知道穆罕默德从来没有行任何的神迹吗
？Study the lives of other religious leaders.
你去研究其他宗教的领袖他们的生平。
There's nothing like this.
没有任何的生平是像耶稣一样的。
Now let's look at what he was.
我们接下来看他当时他是
谁。We turn from his miracles to his morality.
我们从他的神迹所行的事来看他的人生，他的道德。
He was living openly in front of the public.
他是把自己彰显活在众人面前的。
Eating and sleeping with 12 men.
他跟着这十二个人一起吃饭，一起睡觉，一起生活。
You can't do that without them finding all about you.
当你这样做的时候，你所有生活的细节都
是赤裸裸光在你的面前。And yet the astonishing thing is,
可是令人讶异的是什么？
Nobody could find a fault in him.
没有任何人可以在他身上找到任何的罪过。
His friends couldn't.
他的朋友找不到。
And his enemies couldn't.
连他的敌人也找不到。
I wouldn't even trust my friend to think I was perfect.
我很难想象我的朋友认为我是完美的。
Never mind my enemies.
更不要讲到我的敌人。
But his enemies watched him closely.
他的敌人谨慎地在那边看着他。
They tried every way they could to get him to say something wrong.
他们尝试任何的方式让耶稣说错话。
They never could.
可是从来没有成功过。
And Peter, one of his closest disciples, said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man.
他自己最亲密的那个门徒彼得都对耶稣说，你离我而去吧，我是有罪的人。
You shouldn't be mixing with men like me.
你不应该跟我这样的罪人在一起的。
And what came over for 3 years was that here was a perfect man.
而三年下来，我们看见他是完美的人。
Who never said anything wrong.
从来没有说错任何的话。
Never did anything wrong.
没有做过任何的错事。
But went about doing good.
但是到各地行善事，做好事。
And in all his life, he never hurt anybody.
他一生从来没有伤害过任何人。
And yet they killed him after 3 years.
可是三年之后，他们却杀害了他。
Why on earth would they kill such a good man?
他们为什么要杀害这么好的一个人呢？
Actually, the Greek philosopher Socrates said, if ever a perfectly good man comes into our world, the rest will kill him.
那其实希腊的哲学家在苏格拉底也曾经说过，如果一个完全完美的人，没有完美的人来到世界上，其他的人一定会把他杀害的。
So even a great Greek philosopher realized the truth.
甚至这样的一个伟大的哲学家也知道真理。
That the world doesn't like good men.
世界是不喜欢好人。
It makes them uncomfortable.
因为这样的人使他们感到不舒服。
A good life acts as a conscience.
因为他的活出来的那个美好的人生其实会成为他们的良心。
And people prefer to live with bad people like themselves.
那人们喜欢跟那些跟他们一样的不好的人活在一起。
It's so comforting to say no one's perfect.
然后当我们才讲，我们喜欢讲一句话，说没有人是完美的。当我们讲这句话的时候，其实给我们自己很大的安慰。
Because then I don't need to be.
因为没有人是完美的，所以我也不需要完美。
But when Jesus came,
但是当耶稣来的时候
，some people loved him.
有一些人爱他
，and others hated him.
但是很多人憎恶他。
He always divided the audience right down the middle.
他总是让所有的听众所有的会众对他的看法是非常的极端。
And he aroused both emotions.
他会兴起这两种极端的情绪在会
众中间。And it's interesting to see who loved him and who hated him.
那当我们来看是谁爱他谁恨恶他的时候是很有趣的哦。
Bad people loved him.
那些坏人很喜欢他。
Good people hated him.
所谓好的人都很恨他。
That's an astonishing thing, isn't it?
这是一个令人讶异的事，不是吗？
You thought it would be the other way around.
你会想象是应该是完全相反的，不是吗？
But it wasn't.
但是却不是这样子。
Because when bad people met him,
因为当坏人不好的人遇见他的时候，
it produced a hope in their hearts.
在他们的里面拥有了一个盼望，
that they could be better.
他们可以更好。
And if they knew him, they would be better.
如果他们可以认识耶稣，他们会更好的。
Whereas good people,
但是那些所谓自认自己是好人，
when they met up with his goodness,
当他们遇见到耶稣的良善的时候，
they realized their own was not so good.
他们发现他们自己的良善其实不太良善。
And they didn't want to be shown up.
他们却不想要被这样的事情彰显出来。
So his morality was extraordinary.
所以耶稣活出一个完全不一样的一个道德生活。
No one has ever lived such a good life.
没有人活出这样完美的生活过。
And Jesus has been admired by unbelievers.
那甚至非基督徒也称赞耶稣的生活。
Indians like Mahatma Gandhi.
像印度的那个甘地。
Russians like Dostoevsky.
那像是苏俄人。
They have all been drawn to Jesus.
他们都被耶稣的生活生命吸引。
As the perfect man.
因为他是完美的人。
Now you know that the media loves to find fault with people.
你知道我们的媒体都喜欢找到人的缺点。
After they're dead.
通常是当他死了之后。
They love to make programs about famous men and women.
他们常喜欢做一些这些历史的片子，讲到那些过去是有名的人。
And show them up in their weakness.
然后把他们的暴露他们的一些的缺点，一些的软弱。
No life has ever been as meticulously examined as the life of Jesus.
没有任何的历史人像是耶稣一样，是被整个人类这么的精细的去检讨的。
And still, no one can throw any mud at him.
可是没有任何人可以在他生命当中找到任何的缺陷。
Still, nobody's been able to find anything wrong.
没有任何人可以找到他生命当中任何的污点。
That's unique.
这很独特，不是吗？
Nobody else like that.
没有任何人像耶稣一样。
But that's still not why they killed him.
但是人们后来杀害他也不是为了这个原因。
I want to move on to his message.
我要来接下来讲到的是
他的信息。What he said.
他所说的。
Because therein lies the secret of his death.
因为在他所说的当中，这是他后来被杀害的原因。
He has been acknowledged as the greatest moral teacher who ever lived.
他被人承认是从道德的角度来讲，是最好的道德的教师。
His moral standards were the highest anybody ever laid down.
他的道德的标准是最高的。
The only criticism that has been made of Jesus' moral teaching is that it's too hard for us to keep up.
那唯一对耶稣道德的教导任何的批评，就是他的道德标准太高了，我们没有办法达到。
That it's idealistic.
那个是理想化的教导
，impracticable
是不实际的教导。
The world says if someone hits you on the cheek，
世界告诉我们说，如果有人打你的
，hit them on the other cheek，
哦，你要再打他另外，你要打他另外
，or bring your knee up sharply，
哦，或者是你要打回去，或者是踹他。
Jesus said if someone hits you on one cheek， turn your face so they can hit you on the other。
耶稣说，当有人打你的右脸，你的左脸也给他打。
It's incredible teaching.
这是完全非常完全不一样的教导。
People say I can never live like that.
很多人说我不能够活出这样的一个生活来。
Even while they admit that if they did live like that the world would be a much different place.
虽然他们承认说，如果我们真的照耶稣所教导的生活的话，世界会是一个完全不一样的世界。
But they quickly find they can't live by that.
但是很快他们发现他们没有办法活出来。
But it wasn't for his moral teaching.
但是不是因着耶稣道德的教导。
It was because of what he said about himself.
是因为他对自己的那个宣称。
That's what led to his death.
这是后来他为什么被杀害的原因。
Nobody has ever talked so much about himself.
从来没有任何人是这样的讲自己，这么多讲自己的。
Nobody has begun so many sentences with the word I.
从来没有人讲那么多，那个每一句话都是我是。
He even said I'm humble，
甚至说我是谦卑的。
And he got away with it，
那可以这样讲完之后，人家还相信他谦卑。
Because he was，
因为他真的谦卑。
You try going to someone and saying I'm humble，
你尝试到你朋友旁边说我很谦卑。
I'll guarantee you won't get away with it，
我相信他一定会觉得你没有那么谦卑。
Yet no one ever accused him of egotism.
是没有任何人控告耶稣自高自大。
But he was always talking about himself.
但是他总是讲关于自己。
And people who do that are usually boring.
而通常讲自己讲这么多关于自己的人，他们所讲的东西都很无聊。
Do you know people that when you meet them, they only want to talk about themselves? They're not interested in you.
你有没有碰过这样的人？他们唯一的兴趣就是谈他们自己，对他们对谈的人没有任何的兴趣。
Aren't they boring?
他们会不会很无趣啊？
And Jesus was always talking about himself.
耶稣总是在讲他自己。
I've just quickly written down 10 things he said about himself.
我很快地写下来十件关于耶稣所谈论关于他自己的。
And it was these things added together that led to people planning his death.
是这些东西加起来使人后来开始计划要谋杀耶稣。
The first thing I wrote down, I've already told you.
第一个我所写下来的，我已经告诉了你。
He never said I was born.
他从来没有说我出生。
He always said, I came.
他总是说我来。
He was saying, I chose to be born.
意思是说他选择生出来。
He was saying, I was sent.
他还说我是被差遣来的。
In other words, he is claiming to have lived before he was born.
换句话说他在宣告的是他在出生之前他已经活着。
Long before he was born.
在他出生之前他就活着了。
On one occasion he said, Abraham and I knew each other.
在一个地方他说亚伯拉罕跟我是认识的，他看见过我。
And the people said, you can't have known Abraham, you're not even 50 years old yet.
然后人们就说你不可能认识亚伯拉罕，你还没有50岁耶。
And he said, before Abraham was, I am.
他说在亚伯拉罕之前我就在了。
That's a funny way to put it.
这样的描述很有趣。
You'd have expected him to say, before Abraham was, I was.
他们本来期待他说在亚伯汉之前，然后我就有。
But he didn't. He said, before Abraham was, I am.
是过去式的，是英文的过去式。他说那个时候我就在。
And that's God's name.
那个我在是神的名字。
When Moses said to God, When I go and tell the people you want me to bring them out of Egypt, who shall I say called?
当摩西对神说，当我去到埃及对百姓说，神要带领你们出来，他们说这个神的名字是谁？
God said, I am called.
他说是自有拥有的神呼召你。
Tell them I am sent you.
告诉他们自有拥有的神。
It's God's way of saying He is always there.
是神告诉我们说他。永远都在的方式。
Now it's true that God was, is, and will be.
我们知道神是昔在、今在、永在。
But His name for Himself is I am.
但是他的名字是我是。
The great I am.
那个自有拥有的者。
And that's the meaning of the Hebrew word Yahweh.
而那个名字，我们所谓的耶和华，希伯来文原文的意思就是如此。
And here is Jesus saying, before Abraham was.I am.
而耶稣在这边说，在亚伯拉罕之先，我就在了。
He's calling himself God.
他在称自己为神。
And that was one of the occasions when they tried to kill him.
而在这个当下，也是其中一次他们尝试要夺取他的性命。
They picked up stones to throw at him.
他们甚至已经把石头拿起来往他的身上丢了。
Because that was blasphemy.
因为那是亵渎神的话。
And in Moses' law, a blasphemer dies.
而在摩西的律法中，任何亵渎神的都要死。
Second,
第二个
，He said to a man, "I'll forgive you all your sin."
他对一个人说，我要赦免你的罪。
That's the one thing a man cannot ever say.
这是人永远不可能可以说的话。
If you sin against me,
如果你犯罪得罪我。
I hope I'll be able to forgive that.
我期待我可以饶恕你
冒犯我的罪。But I can't forgive you what you've done to someone else.
可是我没有办法饶恕你对别冒犯别人的罪啊。
I can only forgive what you've done to me.
我只能够饶恕赦免你所得罪我的罪。
Or maybe to my family.
或者是你得罪我家庭的罪。
But I can't say I forgive you all your sins.
可是我却没有办法说我赦免你所有的罪。
Because all your sins were against God.
因为你所有的罪最终得罪的是得罪神。
And only God could say I forgive you your sins.
只有神可以说我赦免你所有的罪。
And yet he did that on more than one occasion.
可是他却不仅一次这样的说。
And to a